Ever seen or heard. in wisdom. Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Oh, majesty enthroned. Y'all stand together and sing it again now. Of you and Lord, I stand in all of you. Oh, I stand in all of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand. Description. Yeah, God crushed you for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, you were cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp such tender compassion? Who can fathom this mercy so free? Lord, you are beautiful beyond description. The Lamb of God, oh, who died for me. And I stand in awe of you. it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it for my good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it. Seen you turning for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it for my good. You turn it for good. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. The battle belongs to you. I'm gonna see a victory.
I'm gonna see a victory.
Hallelujah. Is that your desire tonight? The battle belongs to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We have several prayer requests tonight. Amen. I believe we can expect a victory for each one of them. We have a need for Brother Joe Reynolds. He asked us to remember his sister, April Nichols. She's in the ICU with severe colitis, and she's having a lot of bleeding issues of her colon. So ask that we remember that in prayer, that the bleeding would stop, that she would receive a healing in her body. Also, we have a prayer request for Brother James Wilson. He's in the hospital and recovering from hip replacement surgery, needs a touch in his body as well. Also, Brother Jonathan Middleton asks that we remember him in prayer as he's having issues with his asthma. We have a prayer request for Sister Vicky and also Sister Misty Fisher. They've asked to be remembered in prayer tonight, so want to remember that need. Also have a prayer request from Sister Shasta Dunn asking that we would keep their family in prayer. They're sick in their body tonight. So if you have a need you want to lift to the Lord this evening, and amen. Just believe for a victory. Believe that he can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for our good. Amen. Amen. Brother Aaron, would you mind coming and opening the service for us in prayer? Amen. Taking these needs to the Lord.
Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's always just such a wonderful honor and a privilege to have the opportunity, Lord, to come into your house, Lord, to gather with your people, Lord, and Lord, knowing that as we do so, we can expect you to begin to move in our midst, Lord. It's a promise that you gave us, Lord, that when we gather together, Lord, that you would be there in our midst. And Lord, we come with that great expectation tonight. Lord, we come to lift up the name above all names. Lord, there is none that can stand before you. There is none like you, Lord. Lord, and we're just so grateful, Lord, to have the privilege and the opportunity to serve you, to be called the children of God, Lord. Lord, we're thankful today, Lord, for a message that come and turn our heart back to the original faith, that, Lord, we're not here wandering in darkness, but, Lord, we're walking in the light of the age. And, Lord, we just want to give you thanks for that. Lord, may we never take it for granted, Lord, and recognize where we could be and look and see where we are and recognize that it's all the grace of Almighty God that's allowed it to happen. Lord, we just come tonight, Lord, as a needy people. Lord, recognizing our need of you tonight. Lord, that's one of the things that separates us from Laodicea is we recognize our need of you. We recognize that without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we're here asking you to move, Lord. Each and every one of us have needs, Lord, whether it's spiritual or physical, financial, mental, emotional needs. Lord, nothing, Lord, is too hard for you tonight. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And we come tonight in faith. Lord, Lord, bringing our petitions and our needs before you, recognizing tonight, Lord, you said in your word to forget not all your benefits. So we're here tonight, Lord, calling on you to fulfill your word. Lord, calling on you for those that are sick and in the hospital, those that are sick and at home, and Lord, different ones wrote in with needs. And Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that you're not just a God, Lord, that is reactive, but Lord, before the foundation of the world, you knew the needs that we would have, and you've already provided. You were already the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And we're here tonight in faith, Lord, asking you, Lord, just expecting you tonight, Father, to meet every need. You see every heart gathered in this building. You know every need, Lord. Lord, you know why they're here. And only you, Father, could come in a place like this and take one sermon, Lord, and fashion it in such a way that it could speak to the needs of so many different people. But Lord, we're expecting you to do it because you've done it time after time after time. So we invite you now, Father. We invite you to come and heal the sick. We invite you to save the lost and deal with the backslider and deliver the bound, Father. Lord, we're not here out of tradition on a Wednesday night to fulfill a duty. We're here because we're expecting great things from you tonight, Lord. So, Lord, I pray as we worship, Lord, and lift up your name that it'll be acceptable in your sight. And you begin to just fill this place with your presence, Lord. We commit it all to you now. Every need, every situation, every moment tonight into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Others can take up the offering this evening. Hallelujah. Thankful to the Lord for all of his grace and his mercy. Amen. Want to make welcome some very good friends of ours, Brother Peter, Sister Rachel Coffey, and their family come from North Carolina. Happy to have them with us this evening. Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood.
Oh, my sins away. who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide to leave me? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation, oh, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. In orbit, he runs to the weary, oh, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands, oh, that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me. Testify that this life within me cries. I
your precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb.
Yeah. my lawyer. He never left me. He's been my friend. He's been my comforter. And I was lonely. When I was lost, Jesus took me in. Oh, he took my sin and saved my soul. He cleaned me up. Oh, and he made me whole. Jesus died on Calvary so the whole wide world could see. It was a great thing that he did for me. Oh yeah, it was a great thing that he did for me. Oh, it was a great thing how he set me free. Oh, Jesus died on Calvary so the whole wide world could see. It, won't you just turn around, take a name. It was a great thing that it did for me. Oh, it was a great thing that it did for me. Yes, it was a great thing when he set me free. Oh, Jesus died on Calvary so the whole wide world could see. It was a great thing. And one more time, it was a great thing, it was a great thing that he did for me. Oh, it was a great thing how he set me free. Oh, Jesus died on Calvary so the whole wide world could see. It was a great thing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It wasn't a little thing. It was a great thing. It was a wonderful thing. It was a marvelous thing. It was a glorious thing that he did for me, amen, when he saved me and set me free. Oh, we love the Lord tonight. You love him with all your heart? Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer. Father, we come to you asking once again, you'll just help us, Lord, as we got these thoughts before us. We ask, Lord, you'll just speak and touch lives, Lord, as only you can. And minister, Lord, strength and encourage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 7. Amen. Bring you greetings from Brother Danny Steeman and his church there in Sarasota. We come in last Tuesday and preached Wednesday and left Thursday and went down there and went for a little grandson's first birthday. It's hard to believe it's already been a year. Time's passing very quickly. But had a wonderful time there with the saints and on Sunday. And just want to be sure and tell you hello from them, and we'll be having Brother Danny a couple of times next year, so we're looking forward to that. John chapter 10 and verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen. We'll let you be seated. I'd like to speak to you this evening on faith holds the key to the door. Faith holds the key to the door. Faith, you know, is the hand that holds the key. But the key that faith holds is the Scripture, the Word of God. And as we read, Christ is the door. So faith, Brother Brown would say it like this. He said, faith takes the little hinges of the Scripture and unlocks the glories and goodness of God to his people. So faith holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people of God. He unlocks it. It reveals who he really is. Now, you know, the purpose of a key, as we know, is to unlock something that's maybe been locked up or something that should be locked up. A key is given for that purpose, and there's many kinds of keys. You know, we have all kinds of keys, maybe not as many as we used to, as it were, that now we went to a lot of digital things and punched a lot of codes in or whatever. But the principle of speaking of is the key. You know, there's many keys. There's keys to your house. There's keys to your car. There's keys to all kinds of things. But that key cannot unlock a door unless it's used by a hand. It'll lay there useless upon a counter or in your pocket. It takes a hand to hold that key. It's got to have something to use it. Just as this microphone that I'm speaking through the microphone has no voice of its own unless there's something that speaks through it. It cannot speak of itself. It's got something, has to have something to speak through it. And so that's the way it is even with preaching the gospel. It's not we or ourselves as ministers. We are not the gospel, but we're transmitters of the gospel. Amen. The gospel that God, through our agency of a man, that the gospel can be transferred to a hearer. But there's only one hand that can hold this key, and that is the hand of faith. There's only one thing that can open up the revelation of who Christ is. That is faith. Amen. The faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there's also other keys that we can look at for a moment, but there's keys of knowledge that, you know, man that is trying to accumulate knowledge, and there's a key to that, you know, that unlocks learning or unlocks what's in a book to him. And the only way that can be done or that knowledge can be transferred off of that paper into his mind is he has to find the key of that so that it can be revealed to him or unfolded to him, that knowledge that is seeking. Now, you know, there's also a key to, you know, to music that I wished I had that key. I don't seem to have that key as much as I've tried, but there's some that just has that key and they apply that, the faith and their life to that key, and they begin to open up, and it begins to open up a channel that they can play the piano or they can play the organ, or some of them seems to have a key to everything. You know, they play whatever they want to, but you know, it opens up the rhythm and the sounds and so forth. It takes a key, and you know, there's keys. And Brother Brandon would say it like this. He said, there's keys in mathematics that you have to get the hang of it. He said, I've seen men that could take four rows of figures and put their fingers on each one of the rows and just come right down like that very quickly and put an answer at the bottom. He said, what was it? They had the key to figure it out. Now, as far as me, I didn't have a key when it come to math. I done okay with pluses and minuses and divisions and stuff like that. But when it came to X equals this or Y, no, forget that. I didn't have that key. I lost it, I guess. I never obtained it. But some people have that. They just naturally are able to solve those riddles of mathematics. And you know, a man is seeking, you know, many times keys to knowledge and keys to science and scientific research. And people are looking for that. You know, Thomas Edison, he found the key to electricity. He found it through his faith to believe that there is electricity. There's a way that we can have lights, not just by a candlelight or not just by a lantern somewhere, but we can have a certain wire and it can be generated in a certain way and applied. And so he found the key to find out how to bring lights like we enjoy today, to where it's no longer really a thing of faith anymore. You just flip the switch and the light comes on. It was such a natural thing, but at one time it had to be faith in his heart to believe that it could take place. It had to be faith to bring him to a place to find that key to bring, amen, where we're at today and in the lights that we have today. Now, you know, many of them turned him down. Many of them didn't believe him. Many of them said it ain't possible. Many of them said, you know, you'll never find it. But there was something on the inside of him that believed it no matter what anybody else said. No matter how many people turned him away and said it is impossible, they said, you know, today we look at him, we say, yes, it's possible. But there was a time that many people didn't believe that it was possible. Many people didn't believe it was possible to just flip a switch and lights come on, or just turn a key and a car engine come up. But now we look at it and then we see it as a very possible thing. But at one time it was not. But there took somebody to believe that if I grabbed a hold of the right key, I could find the right path, amen, that would lead to electricity, that would lead to cars, that would lead to all kinds of things that we look at today as just normal things that happens every day in our life. There was a couple of boys that one day found the key to flying. They found the key to be able to, and they had to have faith in that. And they took a lot of tumbles. They took a lot of falls. They took a lot of ups and downs. But they finally found that key that would fit exactly in the right place, that would get that airplane off the ground and fly through the sky. And today we do it as if it's just another day or any day occurrence. But at one day it took somebody to believe there's a key to this. There's a possibility that this can take place. And I believe that we are also a people that has looking for the key. There's a key to a rapture. There's a key to a body change. There's a key, and there's a people maybe that don't believe it's possible. They don't believe that it's going to take place. But there's a people upon the face of this earth that believes there's a key there. And if I can grab it with the right kind of faith, it'll bring it to pass. Amen. And so, you know, Brother Branham brings many, many instances. He talks about polio and things, how it struck the nation and people were dying from it. He said, but there was a person that believed if I could find the right key to a vaccine, and then I can eliminate this polio, I can eliminate this killer. And he never gave up. He was ever working on it, never giving up. It's because somewhere laid a key that would inoculate humanity from that disease. And he said, there's such an evil as polio and diphtheria and smallpox and yellow fever and tetanus and lockjaw and so forth, that science has found a key to eradicate it. They found a key to get rid of it. He said, how much more is there a key, amen, that we can find tonight that'll get a man in a place that he can receive salvation, that'll eradicate sin out of his life, that'll eradicate unbelief out of his life. There is a key to that door that'll liberate a man from any kind of sin. Amen. And I believe we have to be a church that believes and has faith that there is a key, no matter what kind of sin, no matter what kind of doubt. There is a scripture, there is a revelation that'll lift somebody out of that situation, that'll lift them out of their sin and their unbelief and their fears or whatever it may. You know, it's a key. When it turns a lock, why do you lock a door? Why is a door locked? Because there's something precious behind there. Amen. That's why you lock the doors of your house at night, because there's something inside of there you don't want somebody else just getting. You don't want somebody else just coming up. If it ain't worth locking, you just don't even worry about it, right? Amen. But when it's worth locking up, so a key usually is the note to something or a way of entering into something that's worthwhile. A key, that's what it's for. It unlocks something that's worthwhile. Now, you know, I believe that we have something that's worthwhile. I believe that we have something that's worthwhile. Now, as we read in our scriptures, he said, I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the door, not a door. I am the door. I am the only door. I am the only way. I am the truth, the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, shepherds would bring their flocks, you know, into these stone enclosures at night. And the opening, you know, had no physical gate. And so the shepherd himself would lay in the doorway, becoming the living door. Amen. Nothing could enter or exit unless it passed through him. So Jesus does not merely provide a door. He is the door. He doesn't just provide a way. He is the way. He doesn't just provide a life. He is the life. Amen. He's the protector of those that are in the inside. He's the provider of safe pastures on the outside. He is who determines what may or who may approach. Jesus does not teach that he is one door, but if you want, you can choose another one and get to the same destination. No, he is the door. He is the exclusive, the singular, the irreplaceable door of life. Amen. John 14, 6 says, no man comes to the Father except through me. So he is the only door. So in a world that encourages us, you know, for your truth, and you have your truth and you have your way, there's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. There's no other pasture. There's no rest. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. You know, I sometimes, you know, get on a plane. And I got on one last night in Atlanta to fly here. And, you know, it's dark and you're expecting everybody to kind of be quiet and let you have your rest. You're getting tired anyway coming in. But I got lucky enough to sit right in front of two fellows that wanted to talk. And one especially, and he was a pastor of a Baptist church, and he asked the guy next to him what he was, and he spoke in a British accent, and he said, "Well, I'm a British." He said, "But I'm a Jew." He said, "Oh, a Jew." He said, "Well," he said, "I'm an American, and this is a redneck accent." So they began to talk, and they talked the whole way to almost an hour and a half flight, and they're nonstop. And you know, the Jew, they begin to talk about the chasm between Christianity and Jews, and it was Jesus, you know, because the Jews don't believe Jesus who he is, and Christianity believes Jesus who he is. And I just listened to their conversation, and you know, I thought, God, these men have missed the key. They missed the key, because one was, yes, Jesus, but, you know, you can live, do this, and you can do that. He's married a couple of times, and he's telling his whole life story. And this one's over here, and he don't believe in even the man called Jesus. He, matter of fact, he crucified. All, you know, and I thought, God, they missed the key somewhere. Amen. If they could find the key, then the door could be open to them, and they could find out who Jesus really is. And what his word really declares. And that's what we try to get across here at this church, is not get a religion, not just get an idea, but find the key. Find the key that brings the revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. So here he is. You know, there's true life begins when we enter through him, not when we admire him from a distance. Amen. There's no just admiring. You must step through the door. You must step through the door. He is the door to the sheepfold. He is the door to salvation. To receive salvation, you have to go through the door. Amen. So you cannot stand out there and just admire it and look at it and see. No, you got to realize, I need a hand of faith that it can grab the right key and it can unlock what I have need of. He's the door. There's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved, only through the name of Jesus Christ. No church, no denomination, no creed, no doctrines of anything, only through Jesus' name. That is the key. You know, no wonder Peter could use one of them on the day of Pentecost, the key. They wanted to know how to get in that door. So he showed them the key. There's only one key, because there's just one door. I am the door. How many is thankful for that? There's one key. I never understood somebody that walked around with a wad of keys on their hip. They don't know half of what they go to, I promise you. Right? I mean, how many's got a wad of keys in your pocket? And most of them, you know, I'm just keeping it just in case I need it. You know, but there's one door, so there's only one key. He doesn't make three keys or make it confusing or worry about, do I got the right key? No, if you grab his word of God with faith, it's going to open the door. If you grab it and hold it with faith, this is what he said. One key, so there's one door, there's one key. And he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the promises of God, the treasures of God. It's the key to the door, and Jesus is the door. So if some man comes, offers you another way, and tries to give you another key, it will not open the door to receive the Holy Ghost. And say, well, we got something different now. No, what you got is a different key. Cut by man-made creeds and man-made ideas. We have the same key that Peter gave. We have to go through the same door that Peter walked through. We got to go through the same door that all the apostles walked through. We got to go through the same door, so we have to have the same key. There's only one door to healing, and Jesus is that door. So what do? You grab the key. I am the Lord thy God that heals all thy diseases. Amen. In 1 Peter 2 says, who his own self bare our sins to his own body on the tree, and we being dead in sin shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's the key. There's only one door to peace. Amen. There's not many doors. There's only one door. I know the world offers all kinds of doors, but there's only one door to abiding peace. We're not talking about the peace the world can give. The peace the world gives is only temporary. Because we know the scripture, what's the key to that? They shall say peace, peace, and sudden destruction. Amen. It's only a temporary peace. Anything the world's offered. But if God gives you peace,
If you can find it through my peace, I give unto you. He's only one door to genuine peace. You might think you have it. You might accumulate it for a moment through money to buy a home or accumulate enough money to get your children clothes or food to eat. You might accumulate enough popularity to be popular. But when you slip off your shoes at night and you get ready to lay down, there's only one thing that can give you peace. If you know that you're dying that night, there's only one thing that'll give you peace. Jesus is our peace. He's the door. This is what he said in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. If you read it in a different translation, it'll garrison around your heart. He's the door of hope. You find that in Hosea 2 in verse 15. He said, I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. This valley of Achor was actually Achan, was where Achan was killed. It was a valley of trouble. God was saying, I'm going to turn your place of trouble into a place of new beginnings. Hallelujah. It's a place of hope. There's a story. We can read about it in Joshua 7. Israel just won a great victory at Jericho. But a man named Achan sinned by taking forbidden garments and a wedge of gold. Because of that sin, Israel would suffer defeat and they would lose lives. And Achan was judged at the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. This valley represented sin. It represented shame. It represented judgment. It represented failure. It represented the end of the road. But God says, I'll transform your valley of trouble into a valley of hope. Into a door of hope. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. See, a door represents a transition from one state to another, from one room to another, from wherever you got a door, from outside to inside. It's a transition. It's an access, a way into something new. When God says a door of hope, it means your trouble is not your ending. Maybe I'll say that again till somebody just really catches it, because I know we're living in a day of trouble. But your trouble is not your ending. Your trouble is only a doorway to your new beginning. That's why he said, I am the door. He's the door to forgiveness. Where there was guilt, now forgiveness can come. It's a transition from guilt to forgiveness. Amen. From brokenness to restoration. Amen. From confusion to purpose. It's a transition from death unto life. It's a transition from anxiety and fear to peace. Where there's no way, Jesus is the way. He's the door to joy. Psalms 5:11 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are we at evening light on a Wednesday night, or where in the world are we? I think I'm back from Europe. I'm pretty sure I am. I think I'm back from Florida. Amen. Though, how many put your trust in him? Amen. Do you put your trust in Almighty God? Amen. Rejoice. Amen. Let them ever shout for joy, because he defends them. Amen. You're not standing alone. You're not by yourself. But God has taken you out of the valley of Achor and said, hey, I got a transition for you. Walk out of that defeat. Walk out of that despair. I give you a door of hope you can walk into. And here's the key. But it takes faith to turn the lock. It takes faith to say, I wasn't born for this valley. This is not who I am. I was born for a door of hope. Amen. For thou, Lord, would bless the righteous with favor, would thou compass him with a shield, as with a shield. He's the door of heaven. There's no other door. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. He is the door to heaven. It's what he said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, Jesus is the door to all these things. But faith is the hand that holds the key that unlocks the door. Now, if Jesus is the door to all these promises, and faith in his finished work unlocks every door to every treasure there is inside the kingdom of God. Faith is the key that unlocks every promise that God made. Every promise. Amen. Faith is. Faith is the key. The key of faith does that. Faith and his finished work. At that, in these, it's these keys that does it. It was the key, amen, faith that held the key that stopped the mouth of lions. It was faith that unlocked prison houses. It was the key of faith that quenched the violence of fire. It was faith that escaped the edge of the sword. It was faith that brought dead back to life. It was faith, the key of faith in the living God and his word. That he's going to do what he said he'd do. And he didn't give me some fake copy of a key. But he gave me his word. And if I stick it in this door by faith and I turn it, it's going to unlock that promise for me. And I'm going to be able to transition from fears and doubts to peace. I'm going to be able to transition from sickness to health. Amen. Because I got a hold of a promise and I'm not going to let it go. Come on now. How many's got a hold of a promise tonight? I'm not going to let it go. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. It can't happen. It says it can't be. The devil's telling me over and over that ain't no way. You just think it's going to happen. You might as well give up. I'm not giving up. I'm not dropping this key. I'm not letting it go because I know when I arrive to that door and I stick this key in there, it's going to open for me. And it's going to be a door of hope that I can leave this old thing that I've been dealing with and I can walk into a new place. A correctly made key has levers that works inside the lock. Now, how many of you, I know I have, went and tried to get a master redone, and the man didn't know quite how he was doing it, maybe, or maybe the machine malfunctioned, I don't know. And you get back, and that key doesn't do what the master does. It's a little off somewhere. Maybe one of the notches are not quite thick enough or tall enough or whatever. But if it's made just right, it's going to operate. It's got to. Just one little lever out of the way, though, will mess the whole thing up. This is why we got to be careful when we're handing out keys. We're not handing out something that's been shaved off a little bit. Well, we don't need that Holy Ghost. Let's shave that down a little bit. We don't need that shouting and none of that. Let's just shave all that down a little bit. Let's just shave down conviction and stuff. We don't need that much conviction anymore. We know what we got. The seals are open. We just shave all that off. But all of a sudden you walk up to that thing and it don't work. There's going to be some people that go to the body change and just, it don't work. The key that they thought they had is not the right key because things have been shaved off. Things have been man-made. Things of creeds and dogma has been added to it. Listen, I want the master key. I want the same one that Peter had. Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. I want that same key. Because I know what it did for Peter when he walked up to the gates called Beautiful. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee. What was he doing? He was giving a lame man a key. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Must have been the same key Jesus had because it had the same effects. It done exactly the way it did for Jesus when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. They got up and they walked. Peter, when he said, rise up and walk, they got up and walked. Right? It just happened. Why? Because he had the same key. And if we have the same key, it'll operate the same way. It'll heal. It'll deliver. It'll set free. It'll save. It'll fill with the Holy Ghost. It'll energize services. It'll change hearts and lives if you have the same key. You know, we know the story of Peter when he was locked up in the jailhouse, had guards all around him, locks and bonds on him and everything, trying to keep him. Must have been a very serious serial killer or something. No, he's just preaching the gospel. And they put all this around him, but God had a key. What was it? Prayer was being made over in the house. And while they're praying, God is answering. They didn't see it happening, but it was happening. They didn't know it was happening, but it was happening. Matter of fact, they had so much faith they even believed in their prayers. When Peter knocked on the door, they slammed the door in his face. But listen, God is moving. Sometimes when we were praying and we're asking and we're seeking after God all through the night, things are, but God is moving even now. God is changing scenes even now. God is operating even now. God is moving in situations even now when you can't even see it. And maybe it's your child that's locked up somewhere and Satan's got chains of circumstances and sins upon them. Listen, God has a key. God knows where they're at. God knows how to get a hold of them. God knows exactly. And it doesn't matter how many devils have been stationed around them. It doesn't matter if he's lined up every devil in hell. When it's their time to be free, who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. All it takes is the right key. And while you're praying, that hand of faith is reaching out in the pocket and grabbing that key and sticking it in the door and say, they shall be there and their offspring with them. It's the right key. It'll happen. He said, if one thing is messed up, he said, that's the reason I believe in the full gospel. That's the key I want. I don't want no half gospel. I don't want no maybe gospel. One time, I think Sister Ruth was with me and was traveling up to see her mom. And I just turned on the radio, listened to this preacher, and he was going through the book of Revelation. I thought, well, this would be interesting. And he's like, man, you're talking about having the cow in the top of the tree eating grass. And he just go, I mean, telling it like he knew what he was talking about. Just matter of fact, boom, boom, this is it, boom, boom, boom. Gets down to the end of it and he goes, well, honestly, church, I may not have everything correct, but I have done to the best of my ability. I thought, well, thankfully he could admit that. I looked at Sister Ruth. I said, ain't it wonderful to know we're not depending, our key is not on somebody's best abilities. The key that we have is not somebody's best ability to sit there and No, we have the key that came directly from the throne. Amen. That the angel of God would come in night after night after night and hand him the key. This is the key to this. This is the key to this. This is the key to this. And it's opening the doors of revelation. Amen. That is what the bride is standing on. Amen. We're standing upon the same key Peter had, the same one the apostles had, the same one. I don't want a different key. If you want a different key, go to whatever door you want to try. I want the same door, the same key that opened up the same door that it opened up for Peter, that it opened up for Paul, that it opened up down to the seven churches. I want that same key. He said, if you ain't got that key, he said, if you don't have that key that'll unlock every promise God made, you're just prodding and it'll never unlock. He said, but I believe in the full gospel, every word of God that turns the power of God loose and in turn blesses the people. Hallelujah. Listen, don't give me no fake key to a truck. I mean, what good would it do? You know how big a letdown. Somebody said, that's a my Fiari. Here, let me give you a key. What are you expecting to do? You're expecting to go jump in that Fiari, hit that baby, and whoa, right? What if they just done this cruel joke and gave you a Ford key or something? Yeah, Chevrolet key, Dodge key, whatever kind of key. They could have gave you any key, but it wasn't a Fiori key. You're talking about a letdown, right? Listen, I don't want to come up here with some half anointed, half whatever, half worship, half message. I'm not interested in none of that. I'm not interested in half the gospel. I'm not interested in just being able to turn it over and it make a few cylinders pop off. I'm ready for them all of them to go off. I want to hear that baby going down the tracks. I want to hear it say, whoa, I want to hear it. I want to feel the power of it. I want to feel the anointing of it. I want to see it go down to divine healing. I want to see it go down all the way to a body change. So we got to have the right key or we will not get there. Men are in there cutting their own keys and cutting out what they don't want and cutting out. Listen, you're going to get cut out so much, you're going to get cut out of the rapture. I want one that'll turn the power. Listen, if it's good enough to prophet, I want that same key. I saw what it did in his meetings. Amen. I hear about it. I hear it on tapes. I've witnessed it. I want the full gospel that turns the full power of God loose. And in turn, that'll bless the people. That's the gospel I want. It's the key to the door. Great heroes, prophets, great men of the Bible, they had that key. That's the reason why mouths of lions were stopped. That's the reason why they quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword and brought the dead back to life again and done all kind of miracles. It's because they held that key and they knew it worked because it was a scripture-born key. Hallelujah. I love how he puts things sometimes like that. It's a scripture-born key. Not a man-born key. Not a man-devised idea. A scripture-born key. That's what this message is. It's a scripture-born key. It's not some man's ideas. It's not even an addition to the Bible. It was a key given us that made the Bible a new book. Right? He said when the seals were open, what was it? It was a key that was handed down that opened up the whole revelation of God. But if I'm prodding with a creed key or a man-made creed, well, my church teaches this, and I don't know about that. Well, the Bible teaches it. But when the Bible teaches it, and I hold the key, faith key in my hand or in my heart and say, that's God's word, then I know it'll quench the violence of fire for me. It'll unlock healing for me. It'll unlock salvation to the lost and to me. I have to come to the door. Everything in his name, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in his name. Knowing that the key that you got is faith because it's a scripture made key. Now, if it's a creed key or denominational key, I don't know what it'll do. But if it's a scriptural key, it'll unlock what God has said. No wonder they could stop the violence of fire. No wonder they had the key. Amen. God would tell them, go do this, and they would go do it. Why? Because they had the key. He tells about a story of a young man that came up to an old brother, an old godly man, heard that the man constantly testified and constantly telling about the goodness of God and how God was and who Christ was. Just speaking about him constantly. Finally, the young man was going to be ordained to the ministry. And he said, sir, I need to ask you a question. He said, ask on, young man. He says, does Christ literally mean as much as you as you say he does? He said, he means more to me than I could ever have breath to speak. There you are. What was it? He had found the key. The young man said, upon that, if you claim these things, you say to me that they're just as real, then I want to know that same Jesus in the same reality. He knew the man had a hold of a key that would unlock the promises of God, and he wanted the same key. See, that key that locks and unlocks. See, with this key, you can also bind. Not just open, you can also lock it. People have taken scripture and locked the promises of God. They've locked, amen, the things and the way God feels about sin. They've locked it to such a point that God doesn't matter what kind of sexuality you are, what kind of person you are, what you do. What is it? They took things and they locked it up. What was supposed to be unlocked in this day? What was supposed to be opened up? Amen. Revelations of God. Men by creeds and dogmas, even in this message, have locked up promises. They have locked things to where they don't believe in days of miracles anymore. I'm talking about people in the message. I ain't talking about Church of Christ. I'm talking about people in maybe Church of Christ message believers, maybe. Or message believers that are still Church of Christ. However you want to say it. But they took things, quotes, scriptures, and they locked promises up. I don't want that. It's supposed to be unlocked and available and open. Ready and accessible to whosoever will believe. They want to lock up the Holy Ghost. Lock it down to a certain way and put it in their box and lock it up. Listen, I ain't interested in your box. I'm interested in how God wants to orchestrate and how God wants to move and how God wants to move in a situation. See, you can take a key, amen, and lock things up. See, how pitiful it is. The church, he says, has ever lost its vision. What a sad thing is a church sold itself out to creeds and today, and they call for a unite, you know, unite with this and unite with that. What is it? They're locking. They've lost the key. They know the door. They know the door is there, but where is the key? Treasure is right behind that door, and they've locked it up and thrown the key out of sight. But the believer, whoever has faith, can get a hold of that key, can still unlock these doors. Hallelujah. When you got the key, there's no fear, there's no doubt, there's no question. You don't have to ask anybody else about it. You know exactly. You got it in your hands. You know what to do. You know what the score is. You know what the door is going to unlock. You check the leverage. You know strictly right. The doors are going to fly open when you throw the key in it. He said if the church only realized the possession of that key, if the church possessed that kind of key of faith, they could unlock any door to any sick, healing to any sickness, any plague, any case that there is. Hello. Unlock to any sickness, any plague, any case that there is. But people are scared. They lock things up because, well, it don't fit my humanity. It don't fit the way I feel. It don't. Listen, open up all the promises of God. If you ain't got enough faith to grab it, let somebody else grab it who does. That's what Brother Branham's always said. He said, if I don't have enough faith for a rapture or faith for something, he said, I don't want to keep anybody back who does. Amen. Let them go. Let them have at it. It's for whosoever will. You know, he talks about how that he had the faith, the key, you know, to that grizzly bear and that caribou. And he said, old Bud was over there doubting. It's like, you know, I don't know. There ain't no trees. There ain't nothing to hide for a grizzly bear to hide behind. You know, he done saw the caribou get killed. But I don't know about that, Brother Branham. But Brother Branham said, I had the key. I had a vision. And I had faith in what the vision showed me. That right, somehow, I didn't know how it was going to take place. I didn't know when it was going to take place. I just knew it was going to take place because God had already showed me that. And he said, I had the key, but I also had to have the faith that God was going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who else around him was doubting. Are you doubting the vision, bud? No, I ain't. Yeah, he was doubting. He was trying not to admit he was doubting, but he was doubting. And then when all of a sudden that grizzly bear stood up out of nothing, he's still doubting. Brother Bradham, I don't know about what kind of gun you got. Man, shoot him from here. He said, no, I was going to shoot him right in the heart. I don't know. That ain't a very big caliber. This thing had just already stood up out of nothing. You think it wouldn't matter if he had a stick and hit him over the head. If that's the way God said it was going to happen, it was going to happen. Right? I mean, that's where we need to get to and believe in God. It doesn't matter how foolish it may seem. If God said it, it's going to happen. Amen. I believe Brother Branham would have been to that place in his life that if God told him that he was going to be a stick over there and you grab that stick and you hit him right on the ear, he's going to die. I don't know. Well, I mean, he just had this little old gun. It wasn't big enough for no grizzly, but God said, that vision showed him he's going to shoot him right in the heart. And he's going to die. And he said, I'm waiting for him. And Bud's like, shoot him. Are you doubting the vision, Bud? No, I ain't doubting the vision. Shoot him. Got right there, boom, shot him and landed almost at their feet. He said, well, I didn't want him in my lap. What was it? He had to have the faith, amen, that God was going to bring his word to pass. That no matter how it's going to be, God was going to do it. And it doesn't matter if the person next to you is doubting or this one around you is doubting. If you caught a vision of what this word has said, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what. They can make 1,000 videos on YouTube. They can make 1,000 posts on Facebook. It would not change me, because I have found, I have caught the vision of what is to take place in this hour. And I know there's a people that has the anointing upon them that's going to break the yoke of the Satan upon their lives. And to such a point, it's going to overcome them in such a way that their body is going to change. Doesn't matter how many doubters. Doesn't matter how many people say it can't be so. Doesn't matter how many say the rapture is just a fairy tale or whatever. The Bible says it. Don't worry, he'll be there. Don't worry, it'll be here. It's going to happen. The key with the vision, the word of the Lord, there's nothing can change it. There's nothing can stop it. He said, what the church needs tonight is not an education. It's not denominational ideas. It's not a creed. What the church needs tonight is the key in the scriptures to put into the door held by a hand of faith. God, give us the key. He says, give us the key. And he goes on. He says, see, Hebrews chapter 12, chapter says, seeing that we're compassed about such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and unbelief that does so easily beset us. Amen. See, unbelief, sin. There's only one sin, that's unbelief. Sin. Unbelief, it means to miss the mark. It's like you're shooting, you miss the mark. You better adjust your gun because something's wrong. You miss the mark, come back and try over. It means to turn around, you miss the mark. When you want to be a Christian, you go join a church, you miss the mark. If you want to be a Christian, you be sprinkled in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you miss the mark. Better come back. You're not on the target. You're scattered just as sure as the world. There's only one thing that can hold you in perfect line. That's the Scripture, the Bible, the Word. For both heavens and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. So hold the key, faith in the Word, and every bit of faith that you believe, don't doubt one speck, and you'll unlock every door that stands in your way. Amen. If you'll hold on and not doubt one speck, you'll unlock every door that stands between you and the blessing God has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that we have a right to the blessings of God. I don't want to be one that wants to go and unlock and lock them up and say, nope, can't have that one. Nope, can't have that. Nope. Not today. I don't want to be that guy. I want to have the key that opened it up and say, here it is. Go get what you have need of. Move on into the presence of God. Move on into the depths of God. Move on into the glories of God. Amen. From glory to glory, He's changing us. Things are taking place. I don't want to be ever guilty of holding back the blessings of God, or preaching anything that holds back the blessings of God, or holds back the power of God, or even limits it in any kind of form or fashion. It's unlimited power. So who is a man that wants to come and put limits on it? Well, who quit and left you in charge? God said, it's His word. God said, I could have it. And if God says it, who cares what you say? If God said, I could have the Holy Ghost like they had on the day of Pentecost, I'll take it. If God said, I could have miracles, I'll take it. If God said, I could have healing and deliverances, if God said, I could have my children, I'll take it. Why am I going to turn it down when God said I could have it? Why am I going to limit it when God said I could have it? Why am I going to say, nah, it's only just so far, so much? No, sir, I don't want no so far religion. I don't want no so much religion. I want all the unlimited power and blessings of Almighty God to be poured out every service. Every service and every pew and every heart that'll say, yes, Lord, I grab this key and I open up the door and I'm making a transition tonight. I'm walking from my fear. I'm walking from unbelief. I'm walking from all of this. I have a key and I can open the door and walk out. Because there is a door of hope open for me. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts tonight.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it Sunday, but I've heard a lot of comments about Sunday. Definitely will be listening. I always try my best to do that. Walk out of that stronghold. Walk out of those complexes. There's a door of hope here for you. There's a scripture that's a key that'll unlock the door. Walk out of that past. Walk out of that valley of Achor. Been in that valley. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of hurts. Walk out of it. There's a door of hope. But it won't do you a bit of good if you won't get up, grab that key, and put it in that door and open it. And walk through it. He's the door. He's offering you an escape route. Maybe the hounds of hell have been after you. He's offering you a place that you can come and you can take your burdens to the Lord and just leave it there. It's a door of hope. Lord Jesus, ask Father, just take these things, Lord, that's been spoken. Lord, sometimes maybe we don't get it across like we want to or say things exactly, but Lord, you can take it and do something with it, speak to hearts. May they recognize there's a door of hope. There's a door. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Lord, may they walk away from their unbelief and their doubts, fears, worries. Catch their eyes on you, Lord, and see that door and run to that door with all their hearts. I pray, Father, for your glory. Minister to needs, Lord, as you will tonight. Father, you know each heart. You know, I could ask for hands to be lifted up. Lord, you can see beyond a hand. Sometimes we can't even lift up a hand, but you can still see and hear the heart's cry, the need, the situation that's there, oh God. We just give this service to you, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. Door of hope, Lord.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Oh, I lift my hands.
I lift my hands. I bow my knees and worship.
Oh, I worship.
to be 6 feet beneath the earth. For all the things I've said, the things I've said, choices made that I regret.